Okay, it's 5 o'clock. Welcome to the February 26, 2025 Salmon Island School District Board of Directors regular monthly meeting. Since we have everybody here and a full house, look at that, almost every chair. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I
I
pledge
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first we have approval of the agenda. Does anybody have any questions, comments, complaints?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Public comment. Do we have any public comment? Levi, did you? Okay, so we don't seem to have any of that either. So now we have a student showcase, but it doesn't look like students. It looks like an entire staff of Griffin Bay.
Well, we do want to clarify that does say school showcase on the agenda. You're using the one we changed.
Okay.
Because we have a taste issue with Griffin Bay.
They can all be students, just not at Griffin Bay.
So I'm going to begin it, and then they're going to kind of go through it. I do want to say, first of all, that before I start with that I think that in old age we do shrink, because I still have my real life that they're as tall as I am. This is the entirety of Griffin Bay staff. That's it, all of them. Good job. Welcome to be here. It's a school that has 56 Griffin Bay only students.
Wow.
From middle, well, elementary through high school. It has 15 of those are from off island, actually, out of district, so we do them remotely. And then there are about 40 plus students that come from the middle school, high school to take either one or two or three courses. And so it's actually a pretty busy place. But what we want to do tonight is, first I'm going to start with a question and see if you guys can answer. Anybody can jump in real quick, give you an idea of what we're talking about. What is a graduation pathway? Any of you can try to give me an answer.
It's a student working on their own path to graduation, working with the school district, not just taking straight up regular classes. Some of it could be internships, could be apprenticeships.
That's a personal pathway.
Okay.
Anybody else want to take a guess or just listen to the wisdom of the Griffin Bay staff? Just know that you're going to be quick at the end, so listen carefully. I do want to say that when we're in, this really applies even to Friday Harbor High School too, but we're going to try to show you the differences. We're going to talk about what are the eight different graduation pathways that a student goes through. A student that graduates in the state of Washington cannot just graduate by just meeting credit requirements. In this district, you also with your they also have to have a high school and beyond plan. In this district, we also throw in the senior exhibition. And then they also have to meet the state's demand on a pathway, a graduation pathway. And you will probably see when we start right away the one that you choose maybe the most, but then how what happens at Griffin Bay. So today we're going to show you the eight different pathways that this district looks at and what how Griffin Bay deals with those pathways. So I'll start right away with Ms. Trautman.
Ben Trautman here, so secondary education teacher for Griffin Bay. Thank you for a little bit of the pathways. Go ahead, see if it goes through here. So, like Fred said, there are eight pathways. Now, this is one of the graduation requirements. We've got credits to make. We have the high school beyond plan to make. What we're going to be doing after high school, what we've been doing during high school. But we also have to have a pathway as far as data knowledge and skills for readiness. And so, there are those eight. I'll be just talking specifically about the first one, and I'll come back to the most recent one added to this list, which is the performance skills pathway. But for now, the most common way is the Smarter Balance Assessment, the SBA. And so, like it says, the 10th grade level, and if you don't pass, there's more opportunities, break it again, in order to reach those passing scores for the English language arts and math. So you want to pass that, if you want to achieve the passing score of the Smarter Balance. And these are measuring proficiency and skills that should be at, aligned with the state learning standards that we have. And meeting or exceeding the scores should demonstrate readiness for both secondary opportunities and career opportunities. However, if students do not pass their state assessments, there are multiple other options. And that is in place to be, the big F word that Griffin Bay is all about, flexibilities. And it's supposed to be able to help us in ensuring that flexibility for students to meet the graduation pathway. It's sort of a three-pronged process. We've got the credits to meet. We've got the High School Beyond Plan, which our district also includes a senior exhibition, and the graduation pathway.
Thank you. Every time there's a little Griffin Bank, I come in here that talk that kind of points to the Griffin Bank specific information. Okay, so many students have been said the past year's portion of math is more of a struggle for me to do. I'm here to talk a little bit about CTE pathway. CTE program sequence includes two credit sequences of CTE courses that are technically intensive and rigorous that prepare for workforce entry, apprenticeship, or post-secondary education, may lead to a recognized certificate or credential or dual credit. And for us, five of our graduates last year utilized this pathway. Both Ingenuity and OdysseyWare is a virtual coursework that we use, and they both offer CTE sequences of courses. For example, information technology, nursing assistant, business information management, construction and transportation, transportation trades. And every year is different as we tailor programs to individual needs and choices, but last year, five of our students out of eight utilized the CTE graduation pathway. For example, one of last year's graduates utilized construction transportation courses in OdysseyWare, augmenting the coursework with workplace experience in the field. And this is just a little excerpt from the policy and procedure 2410 that I'm sure you're all very familiar with, because it was last revised only a year ago, and that gives the district permission to utilize the career and technology education courses as a path.
I'm Connie Dominic, and I am the office manager at Griffin Bay, and I'm going to talk about another pathway, which is the dual credit courses and Running Start. So basically, this is a pathway that we really haven't used, but we do have a remote student who might use this pathway for graduation next year. So it's when students take classes at Running Start. Usually that's here, together out of college, but our remote student is actually taking Running Start at Tacoma Community College. That is an option for students. I think there was one more. Oh, the college admissions one. Yeah. It might have been before. Okay. Yeah, so this is another pathway, and it's other kinds of assessments, the ACT, the SAT, the AP, and we've only had one Griffin Bay student in this pathway. For the most part, Griffin Bay students aren't taking the alternative test. So that's why we have a big difference. Some of the high school use is more than active. Maybe just the scores they need to pass these various other I'm just leaving. Okay.
I'm Luna Wild, and I'm a teacher at Griffin Bay K through 12. Mostly, I'm serving the elementary students and middle school students, but I do have some high schoolers as well. So, you know, click to the next one. Another graduation pathway that we have is ASVAB. This is the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery Test. In the this school year, I believe that's a 3 out of 10 graduates. I think it's 4 at this point. The test coordinator from Seattle has agreed to come up here a second time. So we had an ASVAB opportunity in December, and we'll have another one in March. And this one we have used for the last 3 years, and can see that this is a good pathway, and it might be one that we utilize more in the future. And I have another fact that I forgot. Blew my brain. Anyway, go to the next one. I'll come back. transition courses? Mm-hmm. Oh, Bridge to College. That's correct. Bridge to College courses are specific courses in the Bridge to College pathway. We utilize in this district the math pathway coursework. It's Friday Harbor High School has a financial math class that's a bridge class. And we have not currently had any students access this pathway, but some of our students do take high school courses. So we can see that potentially in the future we might be able to utilize that pathway. We are not set up to do ELA. Most of our students don't have as much trouble passing the Smart or Balanced ELA. But math is a struggle for everybody. So that's the other pathway that I have.
I'm River Wild. I'm a special education teacher at Griffin Bay, and I'm here to tell you about the pathway for our students with severe cognitive disabilities. The WA-AIM, if taken in the 10th grade, is a graduation pathway for our students that do have severe cognitive disabilities. At this time, Griffin Bay has not had any students that has gone that pathway. I believe that's it. Who's next?
Okay. So, this is the most exciting pathway right now because it's the newest one that they've added. The PVP, Performance Based Pathway. Now, we're trying to figure it out ourselves. But we just had one, just had a graduate this past January.
Get the microphone.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it was really exciting to see her go through this graduation pathway. This is the most flexible pathway possible. So what it basically is entailing is that they're trying to provide flexibility of offering students a way of showing real world application, hands-on types of maybe it's a capstone project, maybe it's a presentation, maybe it's independent performance of a technical or artistic field that they can demonstrate their readiness for life after high school. And in this particular student's case, basically a plan to go to Europe and work and getting a loan from USAA in order to do so, as well as for travels to the American as a caretaker. So you can use it for ELA, you can use it for math, you can use it for both. And all the ways has to align with state learning standards with the real. So instead of relying solely on standardized tests, this this pathway gives students the opportunity to demonstrate that. For life after high school. Like I said, it could be even a research paper for her ELA, performance-based pathway. It's a 25-page research paper. So that would definitely be a good thing for post-secondary application or future things. And really, lastly, this is, like I said, the biggest flexible way to make the graduation pathway that ensures that every student has a way to demonstrate readiness for life after high school, even if the traditional assessments don't fully capture their readiness. So this is pretty exciting.
Can I, Amara, and I'm the school counselor today, and it's time for,
Yeah. I got thrown in there and I didn't see that. Caught me off guard. No, I don't need this.
Additional information and catalog coming up about you. So currently the graduation coach, which is me, and map to the position, which is are funded through the OSSI Office of System and School Improvement Grant. Griffin Bay school graduation rates have been between 50% and 100% since 2019. The class of 2024-2025 consists of 13 students. Two are hybrid, four are remote, three are site-based, four are open-door students, and one has already graduated, and one has withdrawn. This is additional information.
And the additional information is kind of important. It's the OSSE grant. We received that grant through OSSE because we had lower graduation rates and because we've improved so much, they took it away from us this year. It was going to be in my report, but now you know we lost the grant this just a week ago because we just did too good of a job.
All right, now it's my turn with a pop quiz for the school board.
For stickers, better get it right.
And I have stickers if you get it right. So how many graduation pathway options are there in Washington State?
Eight.
Oh, that was so many. Maude, will you call me? Oh, it's very good. All right. Number two, which?
It's 100% for the first try.
Oh, wow.
Which is the newest pathway?
Performance-based.
Which is the pathway used by most of the students in the district?
SBAC.
Yep.
You can speak for the whole board. So they all get it.
Thank you, Barb.
Is each pathway equal to and as valuable as any of the others?
Yes.
And last one, do the number of individual pathways help improve the graduation rates for our district school?
Yes, I think so.
I think they got all
right. They got all right.
But I didn't hear you, Vera.
So I do have a question. Do they just have to take and pass the ASVAB, or are they expected then to apply for the military? Okay, they just have to take and pass. Okay.
I'll put it on my chest.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
One thing you'll see the difference is that if you were to compare the two schools, most of the what happens in the traditional high school, it comes from the test. They do have to go other pathways, they do, but the higher percentage is through that test taken their sophomore year, and we just don't get the test takers over there as much. And so if you would ask Griffin Bay which pathway they use the most, last year we would have said CTE. I don't think we have anybody in CTE. So it changes based on who we have there. So we have to explore why this is a presentation tonight, is because we have to explore how to use all of these in order to work our students through the process of graduation.
Well, I've had one student graduate Griffin Bay and have another, my son's in the program. So I think it's a fabulous program. You all do a really good job. That's awesome.
These are real life pictures. Yeah.
They were not paid for this.
They were paid with the diploma.
That's right. They earned that. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Now we expect you all to stay around for the rest of the
morning.
So, Fred, you're up now.
I'm up next?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I just have one, the two things is that one is it is unfortunate that we've gone through the process of submitting school improvement plans, resubmitting it, put it on the right format, and then submitting a midterm review. And 2 days later saying, well, we saw that you guys did graduate more than we thought. We're not giving you the grant this year. And though I don't like doing all that paperwork, knowing that we don't get $55,000 this year or $55,000 next year was not enjoyable to hear. And there was really no availability to fill that. And it really was because we had graduated close to 70-some-odd% the year they had written down at the state that we only had 10%. So we questioned them on it. And the result is we were right, and now we don't have the money. It is what it is. They are doing a good job over there. Appreciate the staff. The other thing I wanted to tell you just real quickly is, I guess two other things. One is that it was an enjoyable trip and not so enjoyable trip with all of the superintendents when we went to Olympia just over a week ago. The process is amazing watching those people work down there. I did not want to be a politician like that, but it was amazing to watch them do the work. There were times you felt like we are going to see more money come our way. And then the very next visit, you felt like you're not going to receive a dime in new money coming our way. But it was still worth going down. And we had seven or eight scheduled meeting, and we pulled, I think, about three of them off the floor and let them out in the hallway. And it was good to hear the different points of view. I don't have any report like, hey, we're getting the limit off of special education. We didn't get that. Or you know, MSOCs are going to go up by so much, or we didn't get that feeling. We came back indifferent. Our primary purpose, though, is because everybody in the state is fighting for the big three. We went down there and we talked regionalization a lot. We just said, this is a $575,000 for all the islands together annually. And even though that in our current financial state down in Olympia, nothing is budget dust, but in the $72 billion budget the state has, that is budget dust, and that's all it would take anyway to raise this up 16%, and we just think it's fair. So we stayed on it. One legislator said to me, Frank, you know we're not going to be able to do this. He said, I'm coming back next year and saying the same thing. I'm not stopping. You've got to deal with this because it's just unfair. Well, the superintendent from Shaw sits over there with her 16%. The rest of us... 18%.
She bought lunch though, right?
Yeah.
Huh? She bought lunch though, right?
Not even that. We don't think so to buy lunch. We just want, it's just fair. And nobody understands why we were put in the same region with some of the places on the mainland. Because we do understand. They didn't count the water. They just take away the water. And they dropped that 15-mile pin, and it puts us into a place which lowers our cost of living dramatically when everybody knows that we are even with King County. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue saying this year in, year out, even until we finally get hurt. But for now, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe TJ can talk to that more when he gets the legislative report. You don't know what's going to happen at this point. Last thing I want to say, the bids for the siding do come out the 1st of March. will be released by the end of March. We will get we'll open up the different bids, and we'll go to the board meeting that night for your approval on one of them. Hopefully, it's in the cash flow is going to, at the time, will be good enough, and we can do it this summer. It's not that we're not going to do it. At some point in time, we just have to have the right cash flow with the tax receipts, and we're hoping we can do that before August 15th, because on the bid is the August 15th final completion. Cross your fingers, your toes, whatever you need. Let's see if we can get a good bid on what needs to be done on the secondary campus. We really need to be done. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Now, you're up. All right.
Well, this last month went by really fast. I'd say you see me going by faster and faster. February and the end of January, it's kind of a big transition period, I'd say, just in the school year in general. January, we wrap up finals first semester, and then you get started the second semester. And then this past week, we wrapped up winter sports and are getting ready for spring sports that start this upcoming Monday. For winter sports, we wrapped up we had three boys wrestlers go to state, to the first round of state. Both of our basketball teams did their 2B tournament for districts that determined who went to state. Fortunately, double elimination, and we're out in double elimination. We also have a good handful of high schoolers on the swim team that's through the rec. They don't have any postseason or anything, but they had, I believe, two home meets and one off island. And so that was winter sports wrapped up. We had midwinter break this past week, so we got a week off. And before that, was Valentine's Day that Friday. And that our school did, they did this last year as well. They had Care Week, which was a cool idea, kind of a spin on, you know, Valentine's Day and focusing more on like self-love. And so like on the announcements every day, one of our counselors, Ms. Claire, would come on and just talk about different ways each day. She had a different message on how to care for yourself and just kind of focusing on that positive side of Valentine's Day, which for some people sometimes isn't the funnest holiday. So that was cool. And at the end of the week, I believe it was Thursday, they had a make a change workshop, which they did an article in the paper about, but if you want to look into more on that. I was having a weekend that day, so wasn't a part of it, but they had about, I think, almost 50 kids did this workshop. It was in school, and from what I heard, it was really cool. It was just working on kind of unifying just the student body in general, and kind of that leadership, I think, in a sense, but also more of like that sense of community and kind of taking away those barriers of like different friend groups and stuff, and just getting to know people. And sounds like it was a lot of fun and a really cool experience. So that was cool as well. Looking forward, we're getting towards the end of the year already. Today, we started pre-registration. As we're talking about, you know, Griffin Bay came in talking about graduation pathways, and we're already pre-registering for classes next year. So this year, everyone, they haven't made the master schedule yet, but they give us a list of all the classes that teachers are interested in offering next year. And then students sign up for what they're interested in, and then the staff is able to make the master schedule off of that you'll be able to use to make your schedule for next year. And so again, kind of everyone's kind of assessing, okay, where are my credits? What do I need to do where? What am I interested in next year? And so already looking into that next year. Like I said, coming up, we got spring sports starting next week, and we're just chugging along. So yeah. Oh, also next week is the spring dance, country themed. So that should be pretty fun.
And on that same day, on Friday the 7th, we have a superintendent advisory council, but they also have a student representative meeting in just the next room over. And then they bring them back together. We'll eat lunch together with all the superintendents. So Vera and I will be traveling over there. She has promised to come back to put on her cowboy boots and go to dance, but she won't be over there all day.
Yeah, that'll be fun as well.
And it's celebration of
academics.
That's starting as well.
Yes. Yeah. Again, kind of just wrapping up last semester, acknowledging those who did well.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, First, we accept with gratitude two donations from the San Juan Garden Club, $1,473 for an elementary school community project. Holly, the kids don't have a community project. This is a high school community project. Okay. I was pretty sure we hadn't gone clear down to that level yet, but wanted to make sure. And $1,000 from the San Juan for an elementary school shed, and from the Public School Foundation, $12,211 for supplies. Those are significant, and if we didn't have them, I don't know where we would be. So, could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Brian moved.
Second.
John seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
What's the extra half credit on the high school catalog? OSPI says we need 24 credits, and there's 24 and a half. Okay. Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jose.
Do we need to vote on it?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? Now it's Jose.
Enrollment is still holding steady. We're now pretty much at enrollment for the year. And at the bottom of this page, you can see that our special education count is 17%. And so right on the cusp, if they actually do something with special education to increase the maximum multiplier, we're there still. Also in January, the official K-3 class size compliance has come out, and we're under 17, which is the threshold to maximize funding. Any questions on enrollment? If there's no questions on their phones, I'll keep moving on. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing I'm going to say is in the talking points in the bottom, as we've mentioned, the legislative session is in full swing in about 3 weeks. That's when all the bills will, other than anything that's identified as necessary to implement the budget, is the cutoff. I think it's March 23rd is the final day for consideration. Mm-hmm. And then the last item is this is year three of a 4-year ramp up in funding for things like nurses and counselors. And we were anticipating that we would be in compliance, and we are. So funding has been maximized in that area. Any questions about that or budget in general?
Thank you, Jose. On to resolution 25-001, a waiver for the next 2 years for taking one school instruction day and making it a professional development instruction day. And we still meet all of the requirements for the 180 days, even with this. Could I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll still move.
John moved. I will second. Any discussion? All great in favor?
Idea. Pardon? Yes, that's a great idea.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. I'm not hearing everybody's voice. Is everybody saying yes? No? Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then we have another one that wasn't on the agenda until today. 3.04 Section 3.04, Resolution 25-002, updating the credit cards.
Yeah.
I was looking at it. It's something like, oh my goodness, we really need to sort this out. Could I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve that resolution.
Second.
John seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Unanimous again. And section 4.01, board policy changes to 622, second reading policy pertaining to the end fund balance. Could I have a motion to approve policy 6022?
I so moved.
John moved.
I so moved.
Melanie seconded. Discussion. I know there is some.
Are we approving 7% or are we approving document?
The document as written.
Well, we have to make the motion here so we can talk about it. And then it's open to what you're doing.
I'll start. I think 7% is too low. Mm-hmm. Stuff. And I think last meeting we just had a general discussion about this. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think it was 10% was what I thought was reasonable. But there's flexibility there for discussion. I'd like to see a solid reserve on part of the district. Mm-hmm.
And I'm, after talking with Fred a bunch and thinking about it and going back into the Wayback Machine in my head, I think the 7% is sufficient, because if we tie up more money in a reserve fund, it could impact programming for the different buildings. And I don't think that we are in a position to do that. Number one, I don't want to cut programs. I don't want to lock us into such a high number that other things are impacted detrimentally. And I think we've done such a good job compared to the past, that we really don't need to sit on money. We need to be able to spend it for programming. So I am perfectly in agreement with the 7%.
What was the average that a lot of new school districts are at?
There.
Seven. Right there.
That's the average, yeah.
So the average is at 7. Mm-hmm. I'd be concerned about program cuts. I don't want to see anything cut. Do we know what kind of programs would be cut, or is this just we don't know until you get there?
Well, Brian, I think what it's more about is basically we're taking away money they should be able to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, 9 years of doing this, I've seen some really dark times. I've seen some imbalances that were just scary. I'm really proud of what we've done. I'm sorry I missed the meeting Monday. I just could not get away from Monday. We've gotten ourselves to a really good financial place. You know, this board actually looked at what was the trends from what was coming out of Washington and said, no, we're not just going to count on them giving us more money. We have to go with what they're giving us. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy how we've climbed out of this hole. I think that income balance that we have right now is almost embarrassing. It's huge. I know we're already struggling financially. So for us to hold money back that we could be spending on programs, I think is wrong. I don't think we should be hamstringing our staff by keeping extra money just to keep it. As long as we can do one payroll and have a little bit left over, there are other reserve funds for emergencies, for roofs and so forth. I think it's, you know, our number one responsibility is to be custodians of the money. And I think we've done a great job bringing this place back into a financial responsibility. I mean, we're so solid right now. And I just don't want to get overly conservative. I think that money is here for the students, for the staff to use. I think that the 7% does cover at least a month's payroll and a little bit of cushion. And that the rest of that money should go to where the staff and the students need it. So I'd like to go with just the 7% and be comfortable with what we have. And if we have to reevaluate something, we always can.
That's the thing. There's a lot of flexibility to reevaluate if need be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trust me, something's going to happen. We're going to go on 7. Something's just going to happen. But as a rule, it's a really good number. And like I said, we were nowhere near this back when I first started. So, I mean, I'm really having a healthy yard. If you look around the state, we're probably one of the healthier school districts in the whole state right now. There's a lot of places that can't do this. So, I'm really proud of how how strong and how safe we are right now. But again, this money is for the schools to use too. I don't want to hamstring them by holding on to it for the sake of holding on to it.
What programs are at risk that we're talking
about? Well, we're just talking about stuff that they couldn't spend. Like, say the elementary school wanted to start a new program. Say the elementary school, you know, say we needed an extra pair up or something. You know, instead of just having that money locked up in reserve fund, just sitting there, you know, why take that flexibility? Why take flexibility away from the staff and the schools to actually have access to more programs and actually maybe do more instead of, you know, spending the money that they're giving us to run the school instead of just holding under, let's have it be used for the schools. That's what I'm getting at. I don't think specific necessarily, but I think it's just the idea of giving them more money to use for the actual education.
What is your big concern like coming up, TJ? Like, what is that you're seeing? You're like, we have to do this at this percent because of, I mean, is there something that you know that's coming, or is there something that you just want to be?
I don't see a lot of extra money coming our way, frankly. No, and that's one of the reasons I'm being a little bit cautious with the amount, like seeing our savings reserve fund. And I'll talk about this more during my session, but I'm just not comfortable that we're going to see a lot of money from Olympia.
We're not.
And we're probably not going to see much from the federal side as well. Yeah, exactly. So I guess maybe some of it is ignorance on my part because I'm not very clear on why we can't use reserve funds for the programs that you're talking about. If we decide to implement a reading program at the elementary school, why we wouldn't be able to take some of that money and use it?
Well, we'd have to redo the whole policy to take that money out. So instead of having this extra, you know, so this 3% that you'd want to keep, we would have to go through a whole new policy change to change that to get that money back out. I'm just saying, I think 3%, we don't really need that. It's just 3% more than we to keep in reserve. I mean, if we can handle 1 month's payroll and have a little bit of extra cushion for anything else that might come up, I think that's plenty for
keeping. What's the number of days we're looking at for cash on hand? It's 7% versus 10.
What do you mean? That's a question again. Do you understand that question? Maybe I missed.
Number of days we could run at 7% versus 10%.
Right.
So 7% will is 1 month's payroll.
So basically 30 days.
Yes. I mean, but that means all other funding would stop. And if that's the case, we have a much bigger problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the big things of setting that, you know, one of the big considerations when you set your fund balance policy is cash flow. And will you have sufficient cash flow throughout the year?
The other thing that's important about that is when you say it's 1 month payroll, what you said, 7% is more than just 1 month payroll. I mean, it covers all of that, and we have close to $300,000 above.
So it's 1 month's expenses, not just payroll.
No.
Not quite.
On average, that 7% on average is about 1 month payroll. You know, 1 month expenses would be 8.32%.
Can you help somebody again? Can you hear that number?
8.33. You know, and we have other funds available that help with that. You know, there are assigned funds and the reserve funds that are restricted for use on specific programs are available for short-term use to cover any sort of a cash flow situation, as long as by the end of the year we have used those funds for those programs. We also, you know, I was talking about the cash flow issue, 7% is enough to cover our low point in the year, but we also have other funds that we can transfer from the capital projects fund sooner than we normally do if we get into a cash flow situation. So there are other triggers that would help us financially if we reach a very sudden and unexpected situation. You know, from year to year, with the fund balance that we have now, and with a 7% fund balance, we should be okay. And if something comes up that's going to impact that short-term or long-term, we're good for a year to plan around that and adjust course, for future years to maintain a fund balance and build it back up if we have to.
So if we borrowed money from the capital funds,
it's not so much borrow. A borrow. We, at the end of the year, there's certain funds that we, so for example, the capital project manager paid out of the general fund, where then we transfer those funds out of the capital fund. We have ongoing technology that we have to spend or required to spend out of the general fund, and then we reimburse it out of the capital project fund. Right now, I do it at the end of the year, and it's just one big reconciliation and transfer the money, and the budget allows me to do that, the budget adoption resolution. If we're in a cash flow crunch, I can transfer that money, you know, up to, you know, however much we have spent to that point in time, which at our low point in the year, it's close to $400,000. So we can always have a quick injection of cash if we need it. Right now, we need the capital projects fund to facilitate purchases out of the capital projects fund throughout the year.
And if I could, I would say that the 7% is the minimum. So if you were to look at his four-year projection, even in the fourth year, he has an 8.8 or something like that in fund predicted. And it doesn't mean that we're going to spend every dime to get down to 7%, because sometimes that just doesn't work, or there's a different, maybe not this year or next year, there is an influx of some kind of revenue. So it could go over 7%. It's just setting that's where we feel comfortable as a district where we can operate at least for that 1 month. Because like you said, if there is something more catastrophic than that, we have a bigger problem than just that 1 month and that end fund. When you ask, what does it cover? Really, you're giving us the authority to use that money. If it's at 8.33, I have to come back to you and have a little bit of more of a discussion, and you do too. And you may have been here long enough when you had the sixth grade come in when you were at elementary and they needed an extra teacher in September. And that came out of an end fund balance, but it was a bigger discussion in here because the end fund balance, I mean, there was no authority for the district just to do it. We had talked about the fact that we're way below end fund balance. And there were other reasons for the discussion. I think it gives us a chance to say, hey, we're not down 7% yet. We are at elementary. It has a class. All of a sudden, it has just a couple kids more than what we really feel comfortable with our belief in our class sizes, we should break this up. If we didn't have that authority, we may say, no, we're just going to deal with it. And so, to name a specific program, no. But those are the type of examples that we can work out, and they're not look at, and they're not just special programs. Sometimes it's even just our operations. And then, you know, when it comes to special education, because we do not get all our money from special education, that's the big discussion at the state, we have to pull this money in from general fund. And there's always unique challenges with special education and the need for more paras. And we're already talking and looking at another potential teacher next year. There were in discussions, and it's going to cost. And that hamstrings our discussions when we get stuck at that a percentage higher than that. I'll use your word. We may have a different view of it, but words. I am fiscally conservative. I don't want to just go spend money down to 3% and say, I think the state's going to come through someday. I never want to do that. I think we put ourselves in a good position by being smart, by being prudent. But the more I looked at 7% and the amount that is under our current budget, I felt more and more and more comfortable and gave us a chance to act with wisdom in our planning for the next few years. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, from negotiation, we're able to plan too. That helps out. And we put together a good plan, thanks to Jose, over the last few years to build this the way it's been built up. But I also want to make sure we offer this community a great school, and that takes money.
Well, our district is in a much better financial situation than most any other districts in Washington, and I credit that to the whole office exactly. So if Jose is comfortable with that 7%, I don't feel like I should go against what he's saying because he has put us in a really good spot. If he wasn't comfortable, I would tend to, and we weren't in a situation we are, I think I'd be a little more conservative, like TJ's saying. But due to the situation that our district has been put in, and that is, I mean, that's the staff. If that's what Jose and Fred are doing, who am I to doubt that at this moment until I see something otherwise? I probably would tend to side with that just based on our situation and what they put us in.
And Brian, as much as I want to, you know, put Jose in a hot seat because he's a good friend, and I'd like to say, if this is totally his recommendation, that would be unfair. He will do whatever. Yeah. I would say that what you see in a belief that 7% would be a prudent number is because he also sees the 4-year plan. Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't want to just put this all on Jose and it go out with Steve here and say Jose said.
That
would be unfair to him. Yeah. I think it's the plan in general that he has put in and we all discussed and looked at that gives us confidence that the 7% is a good number. That's why I reintroduced the same policy as I did last time, and then you guys could discuss if you want to change that percentage.
One more thing I would add is just, you know, I mean, TJ's point is very accurate. I mean, we aren't getting enough from Olympia. We already are underfunded. And so I think that in a way actually makes it more paramount for us to reserve, you know, what we have to reserve to get by, so that we actually can take more of that money to put into the educational part of the budget. I just think that even since we are getting less than we already are underfunded, I think that's actually holding on more than we need to hold on to is actually putting too much restrictions on the educational part of it. So I think it just actually increases the need for us to kind of have our smaller fund budget so we have more money to go.
Yeah. And based on what Jose said, I actually 8.33 sounds like a better number than 10%. It's more realistic towards our actual monthly expenses that we'd have to cover. And I also want to add, I think this is the longest discussion we've ever had as a board since I've been up here,
which is good.
This is great. I've enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah.
But I would come down from 10 and go to 8.33, which is what Jose said.
I think the one thing that got me to understand why 7 is the right number is when we looked at kind of the month over month forecasts and you look at the ebbs and flows throughout the fiscal year, it's really not about 7% as the average. There are months where we are lower and there are months we are much, much higher than that. And the average over the year is somewhere near 9 or 10%. So knowing that and having confidence in the budget and the forecast that Jose put together, like reality is there will only really ever be one month in the year that we are ever close to 7%. It's much higher than most of the time. So that's why the cyclicalness of this made me really comfortable with 7.
But you know, this is how it's supposed to work. But I love that we're talking about it. It's actually how it's supposed to work. It's point of the meetings.
So, before we vote, before I ask for a vote, I'm going to say that my recommendation would be to pass this resolution policy.
Basically, someone's going to make a motion to change it.
Right. But my recommendation is that we pass it, or we vote on it as is, as written, with the expectation that we will revisit it next year and take a look at where we are. That doesn't take an amendment, does it? That's just a calendar. So are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. TJ?
No, I'll be the no vote.
Okay, so 4-1, TJ voted no. I don't think that was a roll call vote.
Can I ask you how we'll call up parents? Of course, you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
How would you have voted?
Well, I feel like I don't know and haven't looked at as much as the information as you guys have or had the experience seeing over the years how these numbers have gone. But I also don't know how large our fund is and how big of a difference that 8.33% would be. But I do think, in general, the idea of starting at 7, knowing that you can always raise it, gives it a baseline and that there's no harm, no foul. And that, yeah, I mean, if something came up, you could always obviously raise it up. So to me, I think there's, I probably would have voted it.
That's good. I don't show
that. Okay. Section 4.02, new policy. This is a first reading. 5005 is employment and volunteers disclosure certification requirements, assurances, and approval. It adds definition and language clarification. 5010, non-discrimination and affirmative action language clarification only. 5400, personalities, eliminates COVID-specific language. And 6220, bid request for proposal requirements, language and dollar minimum clarifications. And 6600, transportation, added bus trespass language from the new RCW, the Richard Linhart Act of 2024. Anybody have anything to say about any of those, or we'll vote on them next month? Did you guys look them all up? Anything else? Okay. Section 4.03, board goal review. Had to ask Fred what they were, so he gave me a sheet.
They're very well thought out. Very.
Yes, and yes. This is a 2023 to 2025. And we have increased student learning and performance. We've focused the efforts and energy into changing and making the SIPs more understandable to everyone. We know that the administration is regularly monitoring performance trends, and we hold ourselves, the superintendent and the staff, accountable for improved outcomes because they have to come and talk to us once a year, twice, three times a year, and advocate and support improved learning to other. We do talk to the community, we do talk to people. And goal two, through utilization of open and transparent processes and deliberate opportunities for community involvement, ensures high level staff and stakeholder involvement. And this one seriously goes to what we've been doing with the other islands and advocacy in Olympia. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly on board with that. And our third goal, sound long-term fiscal responsive accountability. That's what we just did. So I think we're kind of on track.
Way better than we were.
Yep, way better than we've ever been. My 20 years here, I'd say. So does anybody have anything else they want to say about these?
Good job, board.
Yeah, really. So now we have to start coming up with some for the next 3 years.
Or moving forward.
Or you can do what you want on those.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a look at it next year and see. And now we're to director reports. I got nothing to say. I already yelled at everybody.
Nothing yet, but I anticipate next month I will have some amendments for WIAA. Those are coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've already said more than I wanted to.
More than you. Brian?
I have nothing at the moment.
Okay, so TJ, you're up, and we know you've got stuff to say.
So most of this is legislative related. Fred touched on some of this. If you're interested, we're on day 45. We have 60 days of this session to go. At this point, all bills have to be out of the committee, House committee, by last Friday. They have to be out of the Ways and Means Committee, Appropriations Committee in the House, and Transportation Committee on the Senate side by this Friday. So any bills that are not passed through by this Friday at 5 o'clock are considered to be dead. Doesn't mean they can't be brought back. From the Senate side, most of the three bills that we're watching, big three bills, are advancing out of committee. It's extremely likely there are going to be changes to those bills because of the fiscal responsibility and how do you pay for it. Mm-hmm. That's what the discussion is going to be. To call out a couple of these, SB 5187 is supposed to fix STARS, which is the formula they use Senator Wellman was on the WASDA call last Thursday, and she said the likelihood of any changes this year are slim at best. So I would put the transportation bill on the low burner. I don't see a lot of possibilities there. Special education bill coming out of the Senate, SB 5236, removes the cap, features a higher multiplier, more money for ESAT, and there's a big change. Instead of paying 3 times a year to the district, they're actually going to be paying 4 times a year now. So districts will see the money more frequently, which is a good thing. Let's see what else I've got there. The ultimate result, there may be some additional money for education. I think she mentioned that CTEC, we were looking at $1.3 billion, and she's going to be very likely at this point, so I'm not sure where the compromise is.
Right.
The MSOC from the Senate, SB 5192, they're looking, they refer to it as marketplace expenses. They're looking at the best way to do this. Wellman brought up during the meeting, this was kind of weird, it was a casual comment. She said that they're investigating because rumors are some districts are misrepresenting MSOC funds. They're submitting receipts for things that shouldn't be covered, which is really hard to believe because I think it's very tight on what you can submit for MSOC. She's looking into that. If I had to categorize after listening to Wellman last week, I would categorize that as neutral right now. I don't know what they're going to do with MSOC. I'm sure we'll get additional funding. I don't think it's going to be as much as we had hoped for. On the House side, most of their big three bills are advancing. It does look like their transportation bill did not make it out of committee. So we're basically looking at the Senate bill if we get anything for transportation. Transition to kindergarten looks status quo for now. They said any school districts that are currently using transition to kindergarten are safe. They don't know if new districts will be allowed in the program this year. And that's funding. And the next big date, if you're looking at the calendar, is March 12th. That's the last day. So once the bills go out of committees by Friday, effective Monday, they go to the floor for votes and everybody starts negotiating and harassing everybody else. So March 12th is the day that all the House bills have to be off the House floor, all the Senate bills have to be off the Senate floor, and then they go to the opposite floors for discussion. So we basically have 3 weeks now of listening to everybody talk about the different bills. March 17th, which is the Monday, is the WASDA DA1 meeting being held in Bellingham. The time is from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and there is no remote option. So I don't know if anyone from the islands will be attending that meeting.
Will you send me the dates? Send me an email.
For the DA1 meeting?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Yep. When was it? Monday, March 17th. I'm guessing they'll be having quarantine.
I'll send that.
Did you hear about the, or in any of those bills, the levy authority, have they talked about levy cap increases on those? Spring.
No. Wellman's bill was heard in committee on the 6th. Let me look it up real quick. The executive session was scheduled, no action taken in early learning K-12 on February 12th. So that's the latest. And they probably won't update this till after 5 p.m. on Friday.
Okay. Anything else? So review a calendar. We do have a request for a change of date for next month.
Cool.
Meeting. No, April meeting.
to Tuesday the 29th. Fred has a graduation to go to, and then I have a team. Is that all right with everyone? Okay. Can you fix that, Diana? All righty. Anything else? I call the sitting adjourned at 6:05.
That'll be Tuesday the 28th.
Yes.
So that won't say the 29th. Yep. Steve?
No, I put Tuesday the 29th.
Tuesday the 28th. Oh, you already changed it up there.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Okay. It is Tuesday the
28th. Don't believe what's hard to say.
Just think
he's just here
doing a fine job.